Okay, but let's do a little bit of an introduction to how you study tefillah. Okay, we've talked a little bit about what tefillah is, but let's talk about how you study tefillah. So there are obviously parts of tefillah where the goal is to figure out why those parts of tefillah were chosen. But once you do that, it's pretty easy to analyze the tefillah themselves. For example, what do I mean? Psukah de Zimra, right? Or I know this is a minhag, but Kabbalat Shabbat, right? Those, in terms of actually understanding the content of the tefillah, why is that easy?
Because they all fit into what they are.
No, because they are psukim, right? Psukah de Zimra, with the exception of the brachot, right? But most of Psukah de Zimra, the psuk in the middle, are psukim. They're from Tehillim, right? Most of it's from Tehillim. Right, the core of it is Tehillim, right? Ashrei, and the five Ha'olukas and Mizmor LaTodah before that. Then there are the weird conglomerate ones like Hodu and Yehi Chavod. And then there's Vayvarech David, which is Divrei Yamim, and Az Yashir, which is Bishalach. But the main goal that you have to figure out when you're studying Pesukei Zimra is not what do these mean, it's why are they chosen as a daily prayer, right? So, for example, when it comes to Ashrei, you would go to the Gemara and you would say, okay, why is it the Gemara thinks Ashrei is the core? And why is it the Gemara says that Kol Omer Tehillah LeDavid, Shlosha, right? Anyone who says Tehillah LeDavid every day is guaranteed Olam Haba. And then you get into the question, because it has the Aleph Bet, because it has Poteach Et Yadecha, what are the combination of those? What does that tell you about Tefillah? But if you just think about the Gemara, what's that Gemara really asking? The Gemara is asking, not what is the meaning of Ashrei, but why is it chosen as part of liturgy? Right? That's one type of question you can ask on tefillah, which is why is something chosen as liturgy? Right? And again, that is true for Pesukei Zimra, that's true for Kabbalat Shabbat. Again, those are not at the same level, but that's not my point. Right? It's true of Shema. Right? What do these Pesukim mean? Why is it chosen as liturgy? Right, in Shema, you have the added thing, which is why is it ordered the way it is? But you're never going to ask, like, right, the question of why is it written this way or something like that is a question on God in the case of Shema, right? It's on the authors of the different parts of Tehillim when you're dealing with Tehillim, right? Which, okay, right, is either David as the person who conglomerates it or whatever, right? Whoever, right? Chazal have 10 authors of different parts of Tehillim, right? So Mizmor Shilui Shabbat is by Adam or whatever, or maybe by Moshe, right? It's, you know, v'chule. However, the more complicated part of Tefillah to understand is that which is constructed, which we've talking about on the last week, by Chazal, right? So the classic, the paradigmatic Tefillah, which is constructed by Chazal is the Amidah, Shmoneh Esrei, right? Where, as we saw already from the basic history the Gemara gives, the Rambam elaborates on it, is that Shmoneh Esrei, there was a time when people used to daven of their own accord, in their own way, because people were eloquent, and they knew how to order it in an eloquent way, with Shevach, and with Bakasha, and Hoda'ah. And eventually, people either didn't know Hebrew or didn't know any language, as we've talked about, and Chazal came up with Shmoneh Esrei. But there are other examples, and this is, you know, again, if we continue, this is what I think I would focus on, unless you guys have a strong opinion, not this way, on Birchot HaShachar. But in general, Brachot, this is true, where Brachot, the Gemara is very makbid. Kol mishaneh mimatbeah shetavu chachamim. Anyone who changes from the language that the Chachamim construct, he doesn't fulfill his obligation, right? This is a general rule. But these brachot aren't just ordered by Chazal, they are constructed by Chazal, right? They're constructed by Chazal. So the question is, where does it come from? Where does it come from? How do Chazal construct brachot? Now, how do they construct it? What do they do? And that's not just important, you know, because, I mean, it's interesting historically, but it's also important because if you want to figure out what they mean, you need to figure out what they're doing. So where do they get the language for brachot? Where does it come from? Wow. Okay, you've never thought of this question in your life. Okay, good. So the Gemara doesn't explicitly ask this in every place, right? But there's a strong hint, almost explicit, in two places where Chazal explained to you their methodology. One in the context of Havdalah, and the other is by Shmona Esrei. But Havdalah is the most explicit. And this is where everyone jumps to start the discussion. And I'll just read you a piece of the Gemara. The Gemara says as follows in Psachim Kufdalid Amun Bet to Kufdalid, Kufgimel Amun Bet to Kufdalid Amun Aleph. Patach v'amar ha-mavdil ben kodesh l'chol, ben or l'choshech, ben Yisrael l'amin, ben yom ha-shvi l'sheshe me'ama'ase. Does that sound familiar? Right, okay, Havdalah as we know it. Right, who separated between holiness and the mundane or profane, between light and darkness, between the Jews and the other nations, between the seventh day and the 6 days of work. Amar lay. So he said, why so much? Lamach lach kulei hai. Why so much? Va amar Rabbi Yehuda amar Rav amav domin kodesh l'chol zu hi havdalah tel shir Yehuda hanasi. Yehuda hanasi just said, amav domin kodesh l'chol. Done. Yalla. Move on. So amar lay, anaka svirli, da amar Rabbi Lazar, amar Rav Oshia, I hold, like Rav Lazar's name of Rav Oshia, that apoche lo yivchot mi shalosh, va mosif al yosif al sheva. No less than three, no more than seven. Va, then he said, amar lay va hamar lo tlata amar v'lo sheva amar. That's very nice, but you said neither three nor seven. Right? Amar lay, Ivra ben yom uven yom ha-shvi l'sheshi me'ama'ase me'en chatimahi. One of them doesn't count, because ben yom ha-shvi l'sheshi me'ama'ase is not part of the seven havdalot here. It is me'en chatima, which is in general, before you have the chatima of a bracha, right, the baruch atah Hashem, you reiterate the theme, and then you go on. So then the Gemara says, okay, fine. So you have to say between three and seven. And where exactly do we get these havdalot from? Just make them up. All right, why don't we say Hamavdil ben? I don't know. So the Gemara says as follows. Amar Yeshua ben Levi, Hamavdil tzarich sheyomar me'ein havdalot ha'amurot ba'torah. If you're going to say Havdalah, you're going to distinguish between things, you need to take them from the Torah. And then the Gemara goes on and challenges this. Meitveh. Say their Havdalot Heach. What do you mean? We say, how are the Havdalot? Omer Hamavdim Kodesh Chol Benor L'choshech Ben Yisrael Min V'yom HaShvi L'sheshi Me'amaseh. Ben Tamei L'tahor. Ben Hayam L'charava. Ben Mayim Elyonim L'mayim HaTachtonim. Ben Kohanim Leviim V'Yisraelim. Okay? So we have this whole list. Which you know, right? Between the holy and profane. Between light and darkness. Ben Yisrael la'amim. Between the Jews and the nations. Fine. Ben tamei l'tahor. Ben ayam l'charava. Between dry land and the sea. Ben mayim ha'elyonim l'mayim ha'tachlonim. Between the upper and the lower waters. Kohanim living in Israelim. And then you have a machloket, is the end of the bracha, Seder Breshit, Yotzer Breshit, or Mekadesh Yisrael, which is what we have, right? Mekadesh. Fine. But he says, Vim ita ha bein ayam lecharava loktiva behavdalah. The Torah never says that God separates with the word lahavdil between land and the sea, right? It does between mayim ha'elyonim, mayim ha'tachlonim, between the upper and the lower waters, right? Second day of creation. So what does the Gemara say? Sami mikan ben ayam l'charava. You're right, erase it. Get rid of it. Yep. And then you skip down a few more lines. The Gemara says, Amri, Kohanim, Levim, Yisraelim, Trey, Milin, and who? How could you do one big expression of Kohen, Levi, Yisrael? Those are different distinctions. Bein Leviim l'Yisraelim, the Leviim are separated from the Jews. Tichtiv ba'ed ha'hiv dil Hashem etchiv et ha'Levi. That at that time God was mavdil the Leviim from the rest of Yisrael. This is Devarim Perek Yud. Bein Kohanim Leviim, and there's also a pasuk in Divrei Hayamim that separates between Kohanim and Leviim. Dechtiv Bnei Amram Aaron Moshe Vayibadil Aharon Lachdisho Kodesh Kodeshim, and you separated Aaron Kodesh Kodeshim. Now, without getting too much into Havdalah, what is the implied methodology of the Gemara here? What is the Gemara telling you about the way in which it thinks about bracha? Where does it get it from? Psukim. Right, this isn't crazy. Psukim. That Chazal, when they choose the brachot, when they write the brachot, what they did was they built it on psukim. Right? Now this becomes pretty clear as well in the context of all of Shmona Esrei, right? Where the Gemara in Megillah Yud Zayin Amud Bet does this at length, and when it right, first of all, it tries to figure out why 18, and it draws it from all different types of psukim. But even in terms of the order, the Gemara says, "Uma ra'u lomar bina achar kedusha." Why do you have the bracha of atachonin of intelligence after atakadosh? Shneemar v'ikdishu ikdosh Yaakov ve'et elokei Yisrael yaritzu. Because one pasuk says, "When they sanctified the holy ones of Israel," etc. V'samichle, and what do they put adjacent to it? V'yidu toei ruach bina, that those who are mistaken will come to know wisdom. Umara ulomar tshuva achar bina, and why do you put tshuva after the fourth bracha about wisdom? Dichtev ulevavo yavin, because it says, and his heart will understand, v'shav, and he will do tshuva, v'rafalo, and then he will be healed.
Well, what bracha is like Bari Priya Ace based off of?
One second. Right? So you see that definitely in the context of Shmona Esrei, and even in the context of some other brachot, like Havdalah, the inspiration for the tefillot are psukim. If you look at the Avudraham, right, one of the major rishonim on the Chumash is the Avudraham. The other is the Riben Yakar. Right? These are the two most important Rishonim, both on the Halachot of Tefillah and on the meaning of Tefillah. Right? So who is the Avudraham, first of all? So David ben Yosef Avudraham, he's 13th century Spain. He might be a student of the Tur, it's not totally clear. Okay? This is how he opens up the Sefer Avudraham, okay? So first of all, he says, Mitzvah Rasei Min HaTorah La'avod Hashem B'Tfilah. It's a mitzvah to serve God with tefillah. V'gam Ein L'Tfilot Minyan Min HaTorah L'Kol Echad V'Echad V'Chavana Gmura Mitbalel B'Chol Eishir Tzera. On the biblical level, there's no specific number. You daven with kavana whenever you want. Im Ma'ad, Im Arbe, Ya'le L'Ratzon V'Yiratzeh. Right, you daven when you want. V'chein Ayad Avar Mimot Moshe Rabbeinu V'Ad Zman Shecharav Beit Kodshenu V'Tivartenu V'Kol Yisrael Bena Umor Olam Bavur Chetam Umal Olam V'Nid Arvu B'Toch Amim. And this is how things were from Moshe Rabbeinu until Galut, until the destruction of Beit HaMikdash. And then, like the Rambam, V'Noldu Lahem Banim Barzotam V'Otam HaBanim Asher Kamu Achrei Maitasvatam Mishubeshet, right? And then their children had confused languages, right? Everything we saw from the Rambam, right? So skipping down, he says, Kashera u Anshei Knesset Gdola Zod Hara'a Chola. When the Anshei Knesset Gdola saw this great evil, Amru, they said, L'chu v'nelcha b'or Elokeinu, let us go in the light of God, u'nishalma parim sfateinu. What is that? Now, this is a classic summary for Chazal of the importance of tefillah nowadays, which is what, Aryeh? U'nishalma parim sfateinu. Which is
replace the cows
with our lips. Anachnu v'kol adatenu l'taken et tefillah nikrit avodah. Us and all Jews to establish this thing called tefillah, which is avodah. Asher al halashon kveda, which is often difficult to say, but safa brav lashon ksara, clearly, succinctly, zacha, pure, ubara, vishara, right, lightning, and straight, etc., and to purify it, mechalat lashon achriya mituara, and to purify it from foreign influence, foreign languages, kidei shetia lashon kala b'fesh gura, so that it will be simple, and everyone will be able to say it with eloquence, all right, and with ease. Ad sheneye kulanu yachan mitpa'alin b'safa achad lashon echad, so we're all davening one language, so, right, so again, like in the Rambam, what were some of their goals for tefillah? Uniformity, eloquence, Hebrew, right? V'nidkabtu kulam v'tiknu leitbalel lefnei chai olamim shmonasar brachot b'chol yom shalosh, etc. Right? So, we establish shmonasar, 18 brachot, 3 times a day, etc. And then he says, and this is his methodologies throughout, v'yesh l'cha l'adad, you have to understand, ki lashon ha-tfilah hu miyusad alashon ha-mikra. The language of tefillah is based on the language of the Torah. V'lachein timtza katuv b'feirush hazeh al kol mila u'mila. And therefore, on every word, you will find pasuk kmoha o me'inyana, a pasuk that is related to it, or similar. U'milot me'atim yeshalonim talem yisod b'mikra v'lachein avi lohem yisod me'agmara. And sometimes there is no source in the pasukim, so I'll bring you the source from the Gemara or other Chazal sources. So what's he telling you? What's his methodology?
Everything comes from the Torah.
Everything comes from the Torah. Meaning what? And this has become, many modern literary scholars of tefillah have followed this, right, expanded on it. Many of them are students of Professor Reuven Kimmelman at Brandeis, where they follow this essential methodology, which is if you want to understand what Shmoneh Esrei means, what in many cases brachot mean, what you need to figure out is what is the source text, right? What it's called is the intertextual study of prayer, right? The intertextual study, right? Meaning, you look for the intertext. What's the intertext? Right, the text that from which it comes, right, or which inspire, exactly, right, which inspire it. And this is often a very fruitful, this is often very fruitful, and also very surprising. Often very surprising. I'll give you one example, okay? We spent a lot of time on this last year. But if we went, for example, to the first bracha of Shmoneh Esrei, as you say, what do you say?
From the beginning?
Yes. Baruch Ata. No? You do Daven, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why does the first Baruch Shmoser go? Okay, El Gevram Lokei Tzalk Velokei Yaakov, yeah. Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, Vanara, Tel, Elyon, Konei, Shamayim, Baharetz. Okay, good. So, one of the students of Kimmelman, I don't know if he's a direct student or inspired by him, not entirely clear to me, I think he did study with him, Eli Confer, wrote a... his dissertation on one of the three chapters is on just the first bracha of Shmoneh Esrei. He makes this point at length. But he says, okay, if you just, and this is basically an expansion of the Avud Raham. If you look at the Avud Raham, he says, okay, where do all these come from? So let me ask you, if I ask you, what is the image in your mind of Gadol, Gibor, Nora? What does that tell you about God? Yeah, so what does that mean? What does it mean to be powerful? Okay. Oh, we should open the door for him. Shalom. Tadarabah. Yom Tov. So you think power falls. Okay, good. So what is the intertext? What pasuk does it come from? It's talking about power and... okay, good, yeah. Good, what do you think? If you had to guess, what is the intertext? What is the pasuk from which this is derived? What do you think it... If you just had to guess, what would it be? And since you are guessing, because you don't remember the pasuk, right? What is the theme? If you're talking about God is strong and powerful, Good, wait, I don't know. What's the rest of that pasuk about? Okay, well, Konish Amayimbaritz is there. Before Konish Amayimbaritz, that was 2 weeks ago. What? Sorry. Right, Konei Akol. Right, Konish Amayimbaritz is elsewhere. Yeah, different part. Right, Konei Akol. Right, but Hakel HaGadol HaGibor Vanora. Right?
Aren't those like four-way like words you're allowed to use to
face? Yes. So good. Arya is saying, wait, isn't that all you're allowed to say? Good. Okay, you want to, before I answer this question, right? Arya is referencing Gemara in Megillah Chafei, which says that there was once a Chazan who got up in Omar, Hakel HaGadol HaGibor Vanora HaAdir HaChazak VaHaAmitz. Right, he went on. And what did he say to him? Omar Lay Sayamintu Lashekhit Amarach. Did you stop praising God? Hashtahani Tlata, Ilo de Chatvinin Moshe Oraita, Va'atu Knesset, Abdullah Vitapninu, Anan Lomrin Lahu. If Moshe hadn't said it and it hadn't been instituted by Anshei Knesset Agdola, we wouldn't be allowed to say it. Why? Because Mashallah Damshelo Elef Alfei Alafim Dinari Zahav. If you have a person with millions of gold coins and you say that he has silver coins, right, Vahyu Makalsin Oto Dinari Kesev Logan Ayhulo, isn't that disgraceful? So again, you see that part of why you have to borrow it from Tefillah isn't just because that's where we want to, but because we don't really have the right to praise God or talk about God unless it's a way that God himself or the prophets or something told you should speak about it, and then it was instituted. Right, that's part of it. Right, that's part of why it's so important to know where it comes from. So here's... Right, so what do you think, right, what would we be talking about? What should the Pesukim be talking about? Why did the Pesukim suddenly talk about God as Hakel HaGadol HaGibor Vanora? What? Right, after Anes, Muhammad, right? This is the actual context. Now look at the actual context. Dvarim Perek Yud. Umaltemet Arlat Levavchem Varpachem Lo Tikshu Od. Right? Circumcise your heart and don't be stubborn. Ki Adonai Eloheichem Hu Elohei HaElohim VaAdonei HaAdonim. Ha'el ha'gadol ha'gibor v'anara asher lo yisafanim v'likach shochad. God is the God of gods and whatever. Ha'kel ha'gadol ha'gibor v'anara, which who does not play favorites and does not take bribes. Oseh mishpat yatom v'almana and does the judgment of the orphan and the widow. The ohev ger latet lo lechem v'simla, and loves the convert to give him bread and to give him food and clothes. Vahavtem and ager ki gerim heitem be'eretz Mitzrayim. Good. What does that mean? Right. What does that tell you about Shemona Esrei? What is the context here? So there's two possibilities, right? One possibility is that it does mean strength in the way we think about it, but specifically, what is it focusing on? This is the Ramban, it's two deos. One possibility is it's going on lo yisafanim, right? You have to do tshuva because lo yisafanim. God doesn't play favorites because he's so powerful he doesn't need to.
But what is that?
And therefore, right, he judges without being scared.
The pasuk itself is like, he doesn't play favors, then it says that he like helps, he loves the gerim and
okay
for the orphan and the widow. Sounds like it is picking favorites then.
Good, so do you tell me what it means? Right, so he says one possibility is what? Is that this really means he's strong. Why does this mean he's strong? The strong means strong, but in what sense? Right, so he says it could be that the perush is just on the first half, which is you have to do tshuva. Umal temet arlat levavchem. Why? Because God is so powerful. Lo yisafanim lo yikach shochad. He's not going to be bribed, and therefore your only way to You have to do the right thing. You can't, like, bribe him. You can't scare him. You can't intimidate him into giving you what you want. Right? You got to do the right thing. That's the first possibility in the Ramban. The second possibility is... Wait, what about the second half of the Pasuk? Right? It sounds like he's playing favorites. He's taking care of the Geri, Yatom, and Almana. What does he say?
He's
trying. He said, no. But the whole point is that often people take advantage of those who are weaker than them, but God, who's so powerful,
helps them.
He's not, yes, meaning he's not scared, right? A rich person might say, listen, I don't want to lose to the person in court, right? It's embarrassing to me. Even if I have to pay more money, even if I have to bribe the judge or just scare the judge, right? I don't want to pay the money to the poor person, right? And the Pasuk is saying God is powerful and therefore he doesn't care, so he takes care of, right? Let's say that's how you read the pasuk. But that's the emphasis here. Then what does it mean? Then how does God's kindness express itself? Sorry, his power express itself. And kindness in helping people who are weak. Right? And you would read the pasuk as God is Elokim Adonai Adonai Makel Gadol Rabbana Ra. Osem Mishpat Yatom Valmana, and therefore he helps the widow and the like. And you have to help the ger too, because you have to be like God. Which means that, right, we open up the first bracha of Shemoneh Esrei, and we say, Hakel HaGadol Yibrav HaNara, and suddenly we think of the God who performs miracles, the God who wins wars, right? That's the image. But if you look at the psukim, right? Exactly. It's either God is powerful and therefore you have to do the right thing because there's no other way to get on God's good side because he's not scared of you, right? Or the Ramban's second parish is God is powerful. And what does it mean to be powerful? To be able to be kind to the people that other people ignore. That's God's power.
What if there are two psukim, though, that could both be what the line is talking about?
That happens. But one, before we get to that, right? But the point is, that if you follow this methodology, what do you end up with? Right? If you follow the Gemara to its logical extreme, and you follow the Avudraham to its logical extreme, what that means is that the theme of the bracha is based on, the theme in brachot in general is based on the psukim from which Chazal derive.
They have to fit the rest of the first bracha into the...
Correct, you have to go through each one, and then, you're right, the next one, right? Where we borrow the Koneh HaKol from Maki Tzedek, right? So first of all, if you think he's not Jewish, then that's a crazy thing, that we open up the first bracha with something from a non-Jew, right? Which means that, right off the bat, even though it's Magena...
Isn't that crazy?
Well, it's crazy only in the sense that the bracha closes with Magen Avraham, right? But we purposely put in the imagery at the beginning this universalist moment where a non-Abrahamic person came to recognize God, which means that even though it starts off with okay Abraham, okay Yitzchak, okay Yaakov, right, that doesn't, in that bracha, which sounds very particularistic, we start invoking non-Abrahamic Jews, right, which seems to be important, right, because it means that even if Shemoneh Esrei is written for Jews, right, in the back of our mind, or maybe in the front of our mind, is the fact that this is, we're supposed to inspire those beyond.
Or maybe you could say it has to do with the Gers part.
Oh, whatever you want to do. My point is, this was just an example, is that once you start looking at the intertexts, what Chazal are doing, right, is different than what you thought. Because what they're really doing is they're not just saying random words. They are trying to invoke the message of the context that they are pulling on. Right? And that changes the meaning of what you're saying. Right?
What about the parts that are in Aramaic?
Again, I said this is not true of everything. Right? Like, it's not true of Psukah Dezimra. Right? But of Brachot specifically, what? No. But I'm saying Brachot in specific are where this is the most, right? The most front and center. Right? Now, it's not every bracha. Right? Some of the shorter brachot, it's less. Right? But still, right? So in general, my methodology to these, following sort of this modern academic approach, which is really just an expansion of the Avudraham and the Ribben Yakar, right, is if I want to understand a bracha, what I do is I take the bracha, open the Avudraham, look at the Ribbon Yakar, and say, okay, what were the psukim this was based on? And then I say, okay, well, what does that tell me? What in context did these words mean? And what does that tell us about the bracha? So, again, my goal for this year, what I would like to do, because I've done it before, is to do this with Berachot HaShachar.
You right. haven't done this one before?
I haven't taught Berachot HaShachar.
Yeah, that, I was gonna ask after Shir if you wanted to do that one.
Right. So I want to do Berachot. I want to do this, but with Berachot HaShachar. Yeah. Meaning we did 2 years ago Shmona Esrei. Last year we did Shema, which obviously was not this. Shema is a totally different. Shema is a different discipline. But I haven't done this in 2 years. But I wanted to do. So I did Shmona Esrei already. Right. Yeah, is to do Berachot HaShachar, which is also easier because the problem with Shmona Esrei is that each phrase, it's like there's a million Berachot HaShachar. Right. You know, it's a few words. Right. Each one. Right, each bracha is short. It's easy to sort of digest and really focus on what is it trying to tell us
except
in context.
Except,
that's Berachot HaTorah already.
Is that that's still in between brachas?
Well, okay, we got to figure out. And even within Berachot HaShachar, there's a division, right? Yeah. Some are different, right? Three in the Gemara, for example, three of them, right? The Shalom Asanis are from Menachot in one sugya Menachot, and the other Berachot HaShachar are in Brachot, right? They're different. They're actually different units going on there. Right? But my goal is try to understand it that way, right? So that's what I would like to do. If you guys are up for it, that's what I want to do.
Yeah.
Well, obviously we'd have to start with the introduction, is what are Berachot HaShachar based on the Machloket Rishonim, which is, do you say it all in shul, or do you say it as it's happening, and what if it doesn't apply, and things like that?
And which order you say it in.
And which order, and da-da-da. Obviously there's going to be different things we have to do, but that's my goal, is to use this methodology to understand Berachot HaShachar. Okay, good. So that's what we'll do.